chapter 14, and let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I've not preached this message before. Well, actually, I did preach it, but I re-outlined it again. I preached it back in 2007, and thought, boy, that's a pretty sorry preacher. And so I decided I'd do it again, and we'll take another crack at this and look at it anew and afresh. It's amazing that as I've kind of gone back and listened to all the messages I start a year with, and I've got a general theme again that's starting to show up, and I want to follow that theme even in this message. Luke chapter 14 is a hard piece of scripture, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know exactly what to do with it. I do not know exactly how to preach this, but I do know it's important that we look at these things that's recorded for us in Luke chapter 14. Pick it up in verse 25. And so, as we look at this scripture, I've got a picture of a cross-eyed bear in the margin of my Bible. I'm not an artist, but I did get a cross-eyed bear. And there's four places that shows up in my Bible. And so we want to look at a cross-eyed bear this morning. Luke chapter 14, verse 25, you follow along as I would read from God's holy word. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Is that what your Bible says? He cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, praise you for your word. And as we look at this portion of scripture, we thank you and praise you for salvation first off. And ask, Father, again that we'd approach you this morning, even as disciples. And we'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ we pray it. Amen. You may be seated as we look at this portion. I want to preach for just a little bit on counting the cost. Counting the cost. I said this scripture is tough, and I tried to emphasize my reading there that he cannot be my disciple. Remember the rich man that came to him, and I think it's over in Matthew recorded. There's also a cross-eyed bear under his reference, by the way. When the rich man came to him and said, Hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, Come and follow me. But before he said that, he said this, Go and sell all that you have, and then come and follow me and bear my cross, or take up my cross and follow me, is the way he put that over there. And the rich man went away sorrowful. And so I'm going to draw a line here, and I don't know where the line should be, but I believe there is a line someplace between being a born-again believer and being a disciple. And I don't know that for sure. I read the parable that Jesus gave, and remember again that some of them received the word gladly and took it in immediately, and it sprouted up, and they were on stony ground, the Bible says in that parable. And even though they showed again growth, and they showed a reception of the gospel message, which was the seed, as Jesus said, Bible says that when a little bit of persecution arose, does anybody remember what that said about them? So they did not have root in themselves, and they went away, withered away, disappeared, and they bear no fruit. I've wrestled with that. I've wrestled with that from the pulpit here. I've wrestled that with y'all. I've wrestled that with new converts. In fact, I went ahead and just gave that to a couple new converts that fell away and said, so which kind of soil were you when you got saved? Because I really don't know how to deal with people who get excited and we used to call them Alka-Seltzer Christians. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase. An Alka-Seltzer Christian is someone who gets saved and is bubbling all over, then they disappear and leave a bad taste in your mouth. That's what Alka-Seltzer does too. So, Alka-Seltzer Christians, and I don't know what to do with them. I don't know how saved they are. And listen to me. Praise the Lord. It's not up to me, okay? I don't make that determination. Listen, neither do you. And so we praise the Lord for that. But again, I always, when I expect that something is amiss or it didn't happen, I pray for them as if they're lost. But I don't know, and you don't know. But again, as we look here again at this passage of Scripture, I have trouble separating that from the seed that's sown and the different types of soil. And I'm not sure, again, about a person's salvation that just gets saved and then disappears. I've gone down through and counted 100 people that got saved since I've been here. 20 years, by the way, at the end of this month. I'll have been your pastor for 20 years. I don't know whether that makes me feel old or blessed or what, but listen, in 20 years, I've got over 100 people that I have seen come to salvation and then just evaporate. Many of them never darkened the doors of the church. Just this last August, going out in Geneva and here in Dresden, we had 20 people saved just in this past month of August. That never darkened the doors of the church. Nick was one, and he did darken the doors of the church the last day of the year. Praise the Lord. But listen, I don't know what to do with them. And I understand that some of your kin are that way, and you don't know what to do with them. And this message ain't going to help you at all with that, okay? And so that's something I wrestle with. But I just want to emphasize here that Jesus said, consider the cost. And he said, weigh your opportunity. Look down the road and understand that this is a costly affair. And because he said that, I want to go ahead and just consider some of the cost here for being a disciple. And in that, I want to again separate just a little bit as best I can from the idea of being born again. We have a track around here called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. And I think it's simple. I got saved when I was 8 years old. You asked what happened to me when I got saved when I was 8 years old, I'll say, I don't know what happened to me. But I know something happened to me. And I know he moved inside of me. And I know that my sins were gone. Yes, my sins are gone. And listen, I've seen a lot of people that had that kind of assurance. My nephew went to a men's meeting with us. He's troubled. He's on drugs. He's in a mess. And boy, he got gloriously saved. And we drove back from Rochester, and he's just hallelujah all the way down. But you look at my nephew today, and I can't find a shred of evidence that he ever got saved. I don't know what happened. And I'm glad that I'm not in charge of figuring that out. God is. But listen, I want you to see here that there are some people that get saved and do not become disciples. I want you to see that some, perhaps they weighed the cost and said, no, I don't want that. I think of the big guy that lived over here on the other side of town. And he got saved and he was all excited. And he was in Bible study for about 3 months. And then the topic of rock music come up. And we said, you know, rock music is rebellion. And it's a rebellious thing. It's a thing of the world. And when we get saved, we ought to have a new song in our heart. And it oughtn't to be rock music. Boy, he just rallied behind that and said, if that's what salvation is, I don't want nothing to do with it. Really? And I think, again, he was weighing the cost there again. And saying, hey, I don't want to be a disciple. Again, I don't know that he got saved. I don't know that he didn't get saved. But I do know that he said, that's it. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to be a disciple. And listen, I believe that that's what Jesus was saying right here. To look at the cost and understand that if you're going to be a disciple, there's going to be a cost. Now, I look out here and I've heard salvation testimonies from most folks here today. And praise the Lord, we're saved. But I want us to consider the cost of being a disciple. And I want, again, that each one of us would say, and I look for the song in our book, it will be worth it all. It will be worth the cost. It's not in our song book, and I don't know if we could wing it, but understand this, there is a cost to being a disciple. And I just want to walk down through some of the things that was talked by Don Green back in 2006 at a conference we went to. About counting the cost. And here it is in Luke chapter 14. And notice again, there are several references to bearing the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a cost if you're going to be a disciple. And the first one, again, is that you're going to have conflict with Satan. Once you leave being a child of the devil, and that's what you was before you got saved. Don't look at me funny. You was a child of hell. You was a child of the devil. And listen, when you got saved, you switched families. Okay? Listen, you are now adopted in. Remember Jesus said, hey, you used to be a child of the devil. And he called the Pharisees still that. Your father, the devil, he said, is a liar. And so, listen, we used to be in that family, but listen, if you got born again saved, you've been adopted, praise the Lord. You've been put into a new family, and now all of a sudden you have the ability to go to God and say, Father.
Amen.
You get to talk to Him as your Lord and your Father. And He treats you as a child, joint heir with His only begotten Son. Boy, never cease to praise the Lord that you got saved. But understand this, you've got a father that you were taken away from. And he hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates Him. They are, I don't know whether these are arch enemies or arch enemies. But whatever pronunciation you want to use there, understand that Satan used to be an archangel, but now he's an arch enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has an arch enemy, and that is Satan. And listen, once you're in this family over here, you've got an arch enemy. That old devil, he hates the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus said, they hated me. What do you suppose they're going to do for you? He hates it. And listen, there's a verse in the Bible that says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I've heard Christians say, well, I'm not afraid of Satan. Idiot. Listen, they don't know. They don't know better. But again, understand that There's a fellow in the Bible who loved God and eschewed evil. He was the most righteous man. And listen, you see what Satan did to him, and you understand that, hey, Satan is a prince of this world, and he's in charge here in this world. Who's running Washington anyway? I can tell you who's running Washington. It's a prince in the power of this world. It is Satan himself. And so we've got an enemy, and he hates you. He hates the fact that you are not in his family. You are now in the family of God. And again, when you are counting the cost, understand that we pick up, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we pick up a powerful enemy. And again, he's set about to do everything he can. Look what he did to Job. He took his children, 10 children, I believe, and just took them all. He took the farm. He took the favor he had with his wife. He took the fellowship he had with his friends. He took the fitness of his body. Listen, understand that Job, again, paid a price because he loved God. And praise the Lord, I believe, as I read the book of Job, and we'll be reading it in a couple weeks here in our Bible schedule, I believe, again, that God gave all of that so that we could learn from it. And listen, I've seen God take lives of children from pastors, from evangelists. I've seen some trials going on in lives again, but nothing like happened to Job. And so again, I believe that we can learn from that. But listen, Satan is a powerful hatred against God. So we're going to have conflict with Satan. And this next one, I mean, we can almost deal with that. We can almost understand this. This next couple I have trouble with is one is that we're going to have conflict or contention with man. We're going to have contention with man. And not only the contention, but listen, sometimes they're going to hold you in contempt. And I'm not just talking about man. I'm just talking about your neighbors. I'm not just talking about people that you may have heard of. I'm talking about your own family. Look at the verse here that he said. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I come to bring division, he said. And that the father is going to be divided against the son, and the mother against the daughter, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law. And there's going to be divisions in this world because, again, I'm here and I'm in your life. And listen, remember again, when we got adopted into this family, you still have loved ones that are over here in this family. You still have loved ones, again, and neighbors and people that you know and friends that you hung around with. And listen, they're still over here in this family. And this family hates that family. It's not just that they don't understand it. Again, it's bigger than that. They hate, again, that family. And so, again, we're going to have the contempt of man. We're going to have the contempt of family, of friend, of neighbors. Yeah, even complete strangers are going to hate you because you're a born-again Christian. And so when we consider the cost, again, sometimes it's... I heard the story again when, up in Adams, New York, is where Charles Finney got saved, and we was up there. And I heard the story of some of the logging camps where a lot of the revival started up there. And again, one of the old logging camps was back in the back woods. And again, the guys that would go in there and work during the wintertime in the logging camps, again, would just take scorn for being a Christian. And so finally it got around and said, boy, don't any Christians. Don't even go back there and work. It's not worth it. And one Christian said, that's it, I'm going to go back there. And he went back and he worked all through the winter through the logging camp, come back out and said, no, I didn't have any problems at all.
Really?
They never found out I was a Christian.
Oops.
Oops. Yeah. Listen, we can get along fine in this world if they never find out you're a Christian. And I'm not here promoting that you just keep your mouth shut. Again, understand that we are to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to open our mouth. And even though it might bring contentment, or contention, Even though it might bring problems and fights in the family, the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. Boy, don't let that happen to you. And so again, when we're counting the cost of being a disciple, now, again, I said that this isn't just being a Christian. When you become a Christian, you get saved. Listen, your sins are gone and we're rejoicing. But again, and praise the Lord for the simplicity of that. And all you got to do is call on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I still believe that. It is that simple. But again, to be a disciple is bigger than that. Remember, they were first called believers in Acts 2 because they believed and they were added to the church and they continued in the doctrine of the apostles. Later on, they were called disciples, and disciples were added to the church. And they were disciples because they were, when my kids were young, they took Taekwondo, and so they had a master that they voluntarily put themselves under the master in their Taekwondo lessons. And I was amazed that they would obey their master better than they would obey their parents. That was scary. And they changed their diet, they changed their actions, they changed everything because their master in Taekwondo said, you ought to do this, and boy, that's all it took. And so they were called disciples, and they had a master. And boy, I learned a lot about that. And again, understand that, hey, that's what we're to be. If we're going to be a disciple, it's because we are now under the master. And it's a different relationship than being a born-again Christian. That's good to be a born-again Christian, praise the Lord. But now there's a decision that says, hey, how much do I want to follow him? Do I want to be his disciple? And that's why I believe these verses that I tried to emphasize as we read them said, they cannot be my disciple. You'd rather have the world. If you want to still be in the sinning business, you can be as a Christian. It's been said that after you become a Christian, you can't sin anymore. And enjoy it. Don't forget that last clause. I understand this, that yeah, you know some Christians and you know you can sin. I've talked to those, again, that are believe in, again, sinless perfection. I've always wanted, don't let this out again, just between me and y'all, but I've always wanted to just go up and kick them as hard as I could right in the shins and see if they get mad at me. Because they've never sinned. And so, listen, understand, no, we sin. We still carry around this body of sin around with us. But listen, understand that you cannot sin and enjoy it anymore. The Holy Spirit of God, if he really moved inside of you, he'll go over and he'll kick you hard in the side when you get tangled in sin. Yes. And he'll kick you long enough till you can't feel it anymore and you rationalize it away and you can ignore the Holy Spirit of God and you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But listen, you cannot sin and enjoy it like you used to. And so notice here again that we're talking about leaving those things. And if you don't want to leave the sinning business, that's because you're still in the sinning business. Boy, again, once we again say, I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in conflict with Satan. And again, there's going to be contempt and contention between you and individuals. Thirdly, there's going to be convictions. There's going to be convictions. And there's going to be convictions that come into your life, again, that God brings in that's just for you. One of the problems I've always seen as Baptist churches is we try to push our convictions on other people. Listen, if God's given you a conviction, then behave yourself and follow that conviction. Now, God doesn't usually spread his convictions out and give all the individuals different convictions. Generally, there's an assembly of them. But listen, sometimes, again, God gives us convictions that's just personally tailored for us. One of my hunting buddies in Wyoming got saved and he got this conviction that he should stop hunting. sell all his hunting guns. And he did. Listen, I saved. I did not have that conviction. In fact, I bought a couple of his guns. Now, listen, understand that something can be a problem in your life that might not be a problem in someone else's life. And God, can dealing with you, can give you a conviction that says you need to drop that. You need to let that go. Don't touch that. My dad was a drunkard when he got saved. Praise the Lord he got saved. And listen, when he did, I still remember Monty Bills coming over and dumping all the booze down the sink. And I remember my dad took a vow that he would never enter an establishment that served alcohol. Where are you going to go out to dinner today? And listen, that was his vow to his dying day. That he would not enter an establishment that served alcohol. And so he didn't eat in a lot of fine dining establishments. But listen, God gave him that conviction and he stuck to it. And so again, understand that when you get saved, you're going to get a set of convictions. And praise the Lord, I try to preach convictions up here that are general and universal and fit all of us again, whether it be smoking or drinking or drugs or in the military. Again, we had five vices, and I like to preach against all five of them again. WWW, wine, women, and weed, again, three of them right there. And so again, understand that we have certain convictions. Some of them come straight out of the Word of God. But listen, understand that God will give you a set of convictions to keep your wretched life straight. To keep your bad habits from reoccurring. God will give a set of convictions. And listen, with a set of convictions come some constraints. That we are under constraints now. And there's freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we're free from sin. Praise the Lord. John chapter 8 says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But listen, when you become a disciple, you're giving up some of your freedoms, as it were. And you're saying, hey, I want Him to be the Lord of my life. And so, we're going to have conflict. We're going to have contentions with the world. And we're going to have convictions. And some of those convictions will clean some of the filth out of your life. You can't have filth in your life. When Don Green preached this, he preached about taking his television out in the backyard and smashing it to pieces. And his whole life. Anybody know who Don Green is? That's my daughter-in-law's pastor out in Lansing, Michigan. And anyway, he preached for 60 years again, and so he knows a little bit what he's talking about. But he said, listen, I never brought that TV back into my house. That was his conviction. It was strong. And it made a difference in his life. And listen, let me go ahead and just give you a conviction that if you got an idiot box in your living room, boy, you want to be careful of that. I won't preach that you have to take it out in the backyard and bury it, but what they say, put a big X on it so you can find it again if you ever needed it again. But listen, understand this, that thing, and now it's bigger than that. I mean, it's carried around right in your pocket. The things we have in our pocket now can bring a vulgar world into our very heart and soul. And so again, listen, we cannot have faith and filth. You can't, they just don't go together. Let me read this. This was from Charles Cowan, Streams in the Desert. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety.
Whoa.
And so again, the same thing is true for the filth in our life. That if we're going to entertain filth in our life, then that's where faith has got to stop. Faith and filth can't exist together. Faith and filth in our life can't go along together. And not only that, but filth and fellowship won't go in your life. You can't sit down and watch a vulgar thing on the TV and then have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The two are incompatible. We can't suck that faith into our life through the internet and have faith and still have a fervor for God. Listen, if you're going to be a disciple, there's some things that you're going to have to separate yourself from, to clean out of your life, and to live without in our lives, so that we could again be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Count the cost. I got a couple more. I'm out of time. But understand again that if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, there's going to be some corrections involved. When you get off course, in fact, it says, I think it's Hebrews 12 that talks again about the chastisement that comes to those that He loves. And so we'll have chastisement. I think it's John 14. Not in John 14. It might be 15. Talks again about I am the vine, ye are the branches. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to bear much fruit, then He's going to have to do some pruning on your lives. There's some things that got to come out. And so today, here we are, first Sunday, and I'd ask again, do we want to be disciples? Do you really want to walk through 2018 as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you do, I want you to count the cost and see God's words here again that in fact, as I read this and read this and reread this week, it's almost like He said, if you're not willing to do the cost, if you don't think you have enough to build the building, if you don't think you have enough to handle this battle, then just stay home. Don't even volunteer. Don't even step out. I don't know, maybe I'm reading that wrong, but boy, that sure seems like what He's saying to the multitude that was following here, saying, hey, I only want the disciples that mean business. And so here we are, first Sunday of the year. I'd ask you, are you one of those? You mean business. Would you step out and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? I've focused probably just on a lot of the negatives here. Boy, it's a blessing to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've watched people go through trials. I've watched, again, in my military time, I've watched a lot of pretend Christians face up with a lot of trials and a lot of problems. And I think, boy, I don't know. I really feel bad for a Christian who's trying to live this life and still dragging some filth along with him. Remember Paul's description about carrying that dead body. I'm still strapped with this dead body. And listen, I've watched Christians and pretend Christians, and sometimes, again, as I said, I don't know where to draw the line between those, but I don't know how I deal with the things that happened in this world, except I had the Lord Jesus Christ to hold my hand, to lift me up, to carry me. And so, listen, I focus on a few negative things here to count the cost, but boy, again, the blessings of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's precious. And it will be worth it all when I see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we get to heaven. And it's precious to be His disciple. So I don't want to paint a negative picture here, but I do want that we'd consider the cost. Consider, what do we want to do in 2018? I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want Him to be my master. I want Him to determine where I'm going to work, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say. I want to get up every morning and greet Him. Before I greet my lovely wife, I like to greet my master. Again, it's a whole frame of life that's different. I've started out reading some devotionals, and I haven't read Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest in years, and so I've read it 7 years in a row. It is powerful. If you don't have that, I encourage you to get that. I hesitate to say that it's available online. You could even get it on your phone, probably. Same thing with Deserts, Streams in the Desert there by Charles Cohen. But listen, here's what Oswald said for today's. He said, friendship is rare on earth. I've said before that the friends I have in this life I can count on one hand. I'm talking about someone that's an intimate friend. Listen to his description here. Friendship is rare on earth. It means identity in thought, identity in heart, identity in spirit. The whole discipline of life is to enable us to enter into this closest relationship with Jesus Christ. We receive His blessing. We know His word, but do we know Him? Makes you think. Listen, Paul said to know Him and the power of His resurrection and to be one with His suffering. How well do we know the Lord Jesus Christ? And do we call Him our Master and we His disciple? Father, praise You and thank You for the Scriptures in Luke 14. And we still don't know exactly what to do with it. But Lord, I pray again that You'd be with those in this room that have already decided to step out and be a disciple. We know some have already paid a cost, paid a price. And they'll give testimony that it's worth it all. Father, we praise You again and thank You as we enter a new year that we could step out and just be Your disciples. Amen. Father, I pray You'd empower and embolden us. Father, we know we have an enemy and he's Your enemy. We know, Father, again, that we're going to receive problems and troubles, even from family, even from friend, yea, even from other Christians that haven't taken a discipleship stand. They're going to be pitted against us. Father, I praise You again and thank You that You promise that You'll never leave us, never forsake us. I pray again that You be with each one under the sound of My voice here in this worship service, that we each would decide to be Your disciple in this year. And Father, that You'd smile on those decisions, receive us, teach us as our Master. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to dismiss. As we do, our altars are open. If you want to come and shed something on an altar, you go ahead and do that. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Praise the Lord. Appreciate so much each one being here. Greet each other. Greet our visitors. Praise the Lord. And it's good to have the rights here. And I'm going to ask you, Brother Cranmer, if you'd go ahead and dismiss our service in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Christian Father, Lord, it is so good to hear the message, Lord, on being a disciple, Lord. And Lord, help us each and every one of us on an individual basis to count the cost, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church. And pray, Lord, for the safety as we go home now. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.